Thank you, Brother Nash. Yes, go ahead and stand. Take your Bible, if you will. Turn to Exodus chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll be right where we need to be. Exodus chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 9. It is a joy to be back with you, back down here where it's a little bit cooler than it is in Texas, especially around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because it is humid and hot. And I think it's going to be like 98 today there and 105 for heat index, and down here it might get to be 80. That's just a big difference, amen? But we are glad to be back and glad to be around your preacher and his family, and look forward to the Lord really blessing in a big way this week. He's only going to bless if you're here. He's only going to bless if you keep your heart open to what God would have for you individually. If we'll do that individually, God will bless it corporately, all together in the church. Exodus chapter 12 to begin with. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, speaking of Christ here, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now this will be around the time that our Easter takes place, somewhere between March and April, if you will, on our calendar, as far as the lamb, the Lord Jesus being slain. Look at here at verse 7. And they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herb they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his leg, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I think we're all understanding that it's the Lamb. It's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Here is a great picture of it. Here is that story where Moses is going against Pharaoh, and now we have the death of the firstborn coming to pass in this scripture. We'll read a little bit farther here. And we find out it's only the blood that's going to matter. And it's only the blood that's going to matter in this day in which we live as well. Look at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Didn't matter if they were Jew. Didn't matter where they were from. Everybody who was not covered by the blood, their firstborn would die in this night. Then he goes on to say, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, we sing it all the time from our hymn book. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. That would be the Passover. You remember when the Lord went up into the upper room just prior to his crucifixion? There they observed the Passover that we're talking about. An event that would memorialize this very night and how that God saved them by the blood. And then right after that, the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, if you'll recall, he sent Judas out, who had within him Satan, and to specify that the Lord's Supper is only for those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been baptized, those who belong to a local church in this day of ours. Now take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And read with me, if you will. Follow as I read. Verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy city, having obtained eternal redemption for us, For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, speaking of the law, speaking of Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Look down at verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. I want to speak on this subject this morning. Christians, listen to me. What if there was no blood? What if it all ended in the days of Moses or in the days of the Jews and Israel? What if God chose not to send his only begotten Son? Think about where we would be this morning. I'm going to preach on without the blood. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here. Lord, we're beginning, getting ready for this revival this week. Lord, we can't have revival unless we are saved and born again. And Lord, even can't have revival even if we are saved and born again, if we're not right with you. And so, Lord, get a hold of our hearts this morning. Holy Ghost of God, speak to every single individual in this auditorium this morning. And Lord, we give ourselves to you now. Would you come? Would you meet with us in a very special way, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I think we're all familiar with the story of the great Exodus that we read just a moment ago in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. I think we're familiar with the last plague and the judgment of God upon Pharaoh and Egypt and all that were there in that day. The death of the firstborn was coming about. Somebody called it the death angel. It's nowhere in the Bible. It doesn't call it the death angel. But death does come. God ordered this death. He said that in the land of Egypt, no matter who you were, where you were from, the firstborn would die on this night. I often wonder how many believe that. I wonder how many Jews believe that. We know that Moses did, and we know that several others did because it didn't affect their home. We just read about the only way to escape judgment of that firstborn's death was by the blood. They would take that blood, use probably a little plant called hyssop, and they'd paint the lintels and doorposts of the home in which they abide. And when that death of the firstborn came that night, call it what you will. I know Cecil DeMille had a picture and a movie picture, and by the way, did a good job with it as far as I'm concerned, but I don't know if a cloud or a mist went through there. I do know God went through there. And that night he went through looking for the blood of his only begotten Son, slain before the foundation of the world, pictured here in the Passover. And we find that those who did not have that blood on the doorpost, marked, if you will, the death stopped into that home. And it took the firstborn of every family, regardless again of where they were from, and regardless of age. That firstborn may have been 65 years old. That firstborn may have been 1 year old, or everywhere in between. But it took the firstborn, every one of them. I can't even imagine. Thank God we don't have that kind of judgment on us today. That God would come back to here and pass a judgment like that on America and say the firstborn of every home in America, regardless of where you come from, I'm going to take the firstborn if the blood's not found in that home. Aren't you glad there's blood? Amen. We have just read about the only way, as I said, to escape. The key to life and liberty in that day was the blood. The key to life and liberty today is still the blood. When I see the blood, we sing, as I said, I will pass over you. If you're here this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, you'd go home to be with Jesus. You are covered by the blood. That blood is a distinguishing mark, and the only mark that'll get you to the place called heaven above. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Look at the book of Colossians with me at chapter 1 for a moment. The book of Colossians, hold your place in Hebrew, we'll be right back. I want you to look at the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. And there's so many we could go to. Ephesians has a great portion of scripture in chapter 1. But Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. How many of you read that scripture before in your life? Say amen. Amen. Do you understand how important that is? That's the difference between hell and heaven. That's the difference between death and eternity with Satan and all those who have gone to hell so far, and then be with the Lord Jesus Christ if you're covered by that blood. And that blood is so precious that it's the only distinguishing mark that will allow you and I into the portals of glory one day. The only distinguishing mark that will mark you when the rapture takes place. The only distinguishing mark that will carry you into the land waiting on the rapture, waiting on eternity when you die in this world. The Bible said it's given to us in Hebrews, talking about same chapter, for man wants to die. Go back to Hebrews now with me for just a moment. Look at verse 20, verse 26 and 27. The Bible said, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Go back to verse number 26 there. Look what it said, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once. And notice the next few words here. In the end of the what? I want you to think about this for just a moment. When Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross that day, it marked the end of the world. Are you hearing me? When he died on that cross, he buried and rose again, it marked the end of time as we've known it. God's allowed you and I to live this long. He's allowed you and I who are saved to be servants of God and make a difference in this world up to this time. But soon, and I mean very soon, we're going to hear the trump of God. We're going to hear the archangel. We're going to hear the shout. And we're going to be out of here. But only if you're ready, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 26, 28, at the Passover and the Lord's Supper, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission. I like what Hebrews does. He adds to it in the Bible. I think we all know it's for remission of sin. But he says in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 9, look down, almost all things are the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Listen to me carefully. What would happen? I know it's not. If you've been saved, we all know we're saved. We're on our way to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But without the blood, people have no hope. You can preach all the ideology you want. You can preach all the books you want. You can quote all the scriptures you want. But, and by the way, you can memorize all the scriptures you want. But without the blood, you're lost. Yes, sir. You're on your way to a devil's hell. And ladies and gentlemen, you're coming up on this fruit bearing. And you hear me. That's how important it is. The only thing that's going to get people ready for heaven, the only thing that's going to get people in church, the only thing that's going to get people to doing anything for God is the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Simply put, the blood of Jesus Christ. So, what does God see? What does God see when he sees the blood? Well, he sees his only begotten Son, no doubt about that. And he gave him freely for you and I. And not only did he give him freely, but the Son came and gave himself freely as well. And that's why you and I tonight or today can claim that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Well, let me tell you what God sees here. He sees a price that purchased your soul and mine. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of the Lamb. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. If you're here this morning, you're saved, hear me. It ought not ever be a question, listen, that you serve or serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's automatic. God expects you and I not just to come to church, and that's good. Not just to sit in a pew or a chair, and that's wonderful, but to be active, to take this same precious blood to lost and dying souls all around your community, in your family, on your job, in your school, at play, recreation, anywhere you go, taking the gospel out there. You don't have to pound them in the head with the Bible. Pound them, if you will, with prayer. Pound them with church gospel tracts that we talked about this morning in Sunday school. You are bought with a price. That price was the blood. You and I are here today because of the blood. This church is here today because of the blood. You have the book of God, the old King James Bible, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God see when he sees the blood? He sees a price that purchased the soul of mankind. Secondly, what does God see when he sees the blood? He sees a power that purges us from our sin. Boy, can you imagine? Can you imagine the blood of Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was a sinner. After I got saved, I'm still a sinner. The only thing is, God delivered me from the penalty of sin. He delivered me from death and hell. I don't have to ever worry about death again. You say you don't believe you die, you just said man wants to die. Sure, but to be dead is to be alive in Christ Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those are great hopes. Those are great truths that ought to challenge every one of us to do whatever we can to get others saved and others ready for the coming of the Lord. A price that purchases, but a price that purges. When you got saved, God delivered you from every sin you ever done in your life. He delivered you from the penalty of sin, death and hell. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground for me. Maybe you wasn't as bad as I was when I got saved. But I was bad. I was an old Vietnam drunk. Amen. And God saved me and changed me. Say, how you know you got saved? Never drank again. Amen. Gave up my old cigarettes. Things changed. All things passed away. Behold, all things have become new in my life. And God allowed me to raise a Christian family. And my wife and I don't know about you, but I like being married 46 and a half years. That came through Christianity. That came because of the blood. I have two sons that are pastors. One's an associate pastor. That came by the blood. The blood matters. Not just to deliver you from sin, but to deliver you into the service of the Lord. To deliver you into faithfulness unto God who saved your wretched soul. A power that purges. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin. What does God see when He sees the blood? He sees a price that purchases. See a power that purges. Number three, He sees a peace that prevails. Listen to this verse, Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. How many of you understand that we have peace with God? Romans 5:1, being justified by peace, we have by faith we have peace with God. You know, we have been reconciled unto God through the blood, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're God's child. You realize nothing can happen to you that God doesn't allow? Let me repeat that. Nothing can happen to you unless God. Even when you sin, God go ahead and let you make a fool out of yourself. But you know the same blood you were saved by is the same blood in 1 John 1. When you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because there's not a Christian in here today that hadn't messed up. There's not a Christian in here today that hadn't done something wrong since you've been born again. You know, like maybe not tithing, maybe not reading your Bible on a day-by-day basis, maybe not telling somebody about Jesus. All these are commandments of God. They're not suggestions. They're commandments of God for you and I so that we can live that kind of Christian life. A power that purges, a peace that prevails. Not only do we have peace with God, I love this part from the book of Philippians. We have the peace of God. I can't tell you as a pastor for all those years how many times I held the hand of a dying individual in a hospital when the family were gathered there, praying with them as they went home to be with their Lord. I have been in there where I've prayed over people, preachers that weren't saved. And they're going nuts. They don't know what to do, how to handle it. I've done so many funerals, it's unreal. And a funeral of a saved one is easy to do. A funeral of a lost person is not easy. And to watch the families come forward to weep over the lost person that's in hell today. And I never preach them into hell, but I never preach them into heaven either. They're either saved or they're not. But I've been around all those things. And it's devastating to see a mom and a dad, a 21-year-old man, shot by a drive-by shooting in the wrong place at the wrong time in Dallas. I'd done the funeral, and mom and daddy said they never, ever took that boy to church in his life. 21 years old, tried to get them to pray with us, and the only time they let me pray was at the funeral. Sad, sad. But then there's Christians that have walked away from God living the same way. Miserable lives, marriages upside down. If we want revival, we got to get right with God. Yes. Got to get right. And by the way, the same blood that saved the same blood that gets us right with Him. Peace I have, peace you have, through the redemption and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God see when He sees the blood? He sees the price that purchased your soul and mine. You see, a power that purges us from all our sin, the penalty of sin and any sin that we... By the way, God doesn't give us liberty to sin, then just go confess it. But all of us mess up. We got to. By the way, good thing to do, I do it every morning, I hope you do. Good thing to do before you ever get out of bed. You know, my wife will sleep on one side of the bed 1 6 months, next 6 months she wants the other side of the bed, and I just do what she tells me to do, amen? But here's the thing. Well, you heard me last time I was here, the secret to 46 and a half years of marriage and 49 years that we've known each other. Look up here. Guys, look up here. It's yes, ma'am. Keep you out of lot. Well, I got power of buyout. Not long, you don't. You wait till they go through that time they call the change, and you will lose power. Well, how do you know that? Just take my word. My wife has such a good spirit, though, it wasn't that recognizable. The only time it was really recognizable, ladies, is when she stuck her head in the freezer. Some of the guys are going, what in God's name is he talking about? If you don't know, you will. What does God see when he sees the blood? A power that purges. I'll get my own outline here. A peace that prevails. Next, a protection that preserves for eternity. I mentioned it already. I always get ahead of myself, my message. But if you're here this morning, somebody walked in here and wiped us all out, either you're saved or you're not. If you're saved, I'd hate to die that way or watch anybody die that way. But if somebody were to walk in there, and by the way, it happened not long, far from where me and her lived, right there in Fort Worth. Walked into that big old church, just opened fire and killed so many. It could happen. Today is a wicked day. People in Dallas are shooting each other on the highway now, breaking into homes, raping 65-year-old women. I mean, we're sick. Somebody said, well, it's them people coming over. No, it's not all them people coming over. And by the way, those people coming over need Jesus too. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You can talk about all the illegals coming over, and I'm not against that. I'm against the right kind of coming into our country. Anybody can come the right way. But they need Jesus too. That's why we send missionaries everywhere. Hello?
Yes.
I got family like them. They didn't come from over there. They came from right here. And they're wicked. Yes. They're wicked. Drugs, alcohol. I got a 55-year-old brother who is years younger than I am, dying right now, dying of cirrhosis of the liver because of drugs and alcohol. We got a lot of wicked people in America, too. We got wicked people that go to our churches. Sad to say, but it's so true. What does God see when he sees the blood at price, a power that purges, a peace that prevails, a protection that preserves us both here and forever? Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question before I go any further right here. What if there was no blood? You're sitting here this morning, you're playing with church, you're playing with Christianity, you're playing with this. Well, I go to church, they ain't getting you in heaven. You've heard these said. These are old school, old preaching. You can be baptized 35 times, go to hell. Well, I was baptized when I was an infant. Infants don't get baptized. You get baptized, listen to me. You get saved, then you get baptized. And you're baptized by immersion to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not baptized to get saved. You're baptized, our preacher would like to say, because you're saved. Amen. Hello? So you're sitting here, before I finish this morning, you're sitting here. You're either saved or you're unsaved. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a member of this church, unsaved, look up here. Preacher, I don't know if I was here. I'm sure I did. I do everywhere because I think it helps. I was a youth pastor. I brought 45 kids into my church on a Wednesday night to Awana's that we used to do years and years ago back in the 70s. And I dropped them off and I went straight to my preacher's office. And I said, Brother Heath, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. And he said, well, Brother Buster, what is it? And that's what my name was growing up. You know, when you give a preacher, you get them big name, Carl. That's my given name. But Buster's my nickname. Anyway, you can call me whatever you want. Somebody said, call me whatever you want. Just call me for supper. Amen? He said, well, Buster, you know what to do, don't you? Brother Buster, you know what to do. I said, preacher, here, look up here. I already memorized the Romans Road, all the scripture in other scriptures, all the scripture to do with eternal security. Memorize them. And I think that's what began to set conviction in my heart. Teaching my Sunday school class, high school boy, they knew more than I did. I couldn't understand my lesson, preacher. I couldn't discern the Word of God as a natural man in church clothes, in a church building. There's some here today. You're a natural man. You're a natural woman. You're in church clothes. You're in a church building. You're going to die and go to hell. Well, I'd be embarrassed if I got saved now. No, you might be embarrassed. I was, but sure am glad I made the choice. I hate to think where my family would be today had I not. Without the blood, let me say this and I'll be done. Without the blood, there is no redemption. Did you hear what I said? The world's greatest sellout was Adam and Eve, who sold us out in the garden. All of sin. And comes short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The world's greatest slave master is still Satan. He is the God of this world. God allowed him to be that. And winning over those that are lost, I can understand, but winning over those who are purchased by the blood, I still have not been able to understand. Without the blood, there's no redemption. But not only did they sell us out, not only is Satan the slave master, the world's greatest Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires to save anybody here this morning. Do you hear that? I didn't either, but we're going to. We're going to hear the trumpet sound. And some of you are going to remain in the pew while the others are going. Then you're going to blame it on not illegal aliens, but aliens from outer space. Because you'll have no answer. Except, I believe, preacher, some of those that sit in church are going to be sitting there going, that preacher was right after all, wasn't he? But listen to me, there's no hope after that. No redemption, no hope. There's no remission, number two. There's no remission of sin. Your sins will live with you throughout eternity as you cry out in hell, as the rich man did in Luke 16, who wanted out. And by the way, you've heard the outline, you've heard the preaching. He became a better soul winner in hell than he ever was out here because he was lost and didn't care. But now he wanted, listen, he wanted somebody to go tell his brothers about Jesus. He said, did they? I don't know. I don't know. By the way, have you told your brother about Jesus? You told your sister? You told your mom and dad? You told granny and granddad? By the way, granny and granddad need him more now than they ever needed him. Without the blood, there's no redemption. Without the blood, there's no remission. Let me say thirdly, without the blood, there's no reconciliation. Take your Bible, if you will, quickly. Hurry, you're holding me up. I used to blame, everybody blame the preacher. It's the people. They just can't get Scripture. They don't know where it's at. And it takes. No, I'm just kidding. But look at 2 Corinthians 5. If you can, I want you to listen real quickly. Therefore, verse 17, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mentioned that a moment ago. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's his blood. That's his son. And hath given to, watch now, this gets really, really touchy here. Given to us. Everybody read that, or are you even reading? Given to us. That's us who are born again, folks. The ministry. Look at it. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Look up here. Your preacher's challenging you right now, right here. The ministry of reconciliation, soul winning.
Yes.
The ministry. You have been given. Somebody said, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. No, you're a Christian. You're a child of God who ought to be grateful and thankful. And you have been given the ministry. It even gets better here. Hang on now if that bothers you. Look at verse 19. To wit, or have knowledge of, or be able to understand, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto, what's that next word? Us, the what? Look up here. Look up here. He only gave you the ministry of reconciliation, so when he gave you the Bible to work with.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
So, child of God, this is not about everybody who's lost in here. It's about you and I who are saved, who have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And then just read on with me. Stay with me. Now we are ambassadors, representatives for Christ. Just like we got ambassadors from America all over the world. We're ambassadors for Christ right here and all over the world.
Amen.
Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous God in him. Without the blood, there'd be no redemption, there'd be no remission, there'd be no reconciliation. And may I say this, I jumped ahead of myself with 2 Corinthians, but it's the last point. Without the blood, there'd be no readiness for service. If you were to go back to Exodus 29, and just one verse there, verse 20, don't go, but look up here. Aaron and his sons have been instructed. They were instructed to take the blood of the sacrifice, hear me now, and put it on their ear. They were instructed to take the blood and put it on, listen, not only on the ear, but on their feet, on their hands. Why'd they do that, preacher? Well, the blood sacrifice is what it stands for. And the blood on the ear was to hear the word of God. The blood on the hand is to handle the work of God. And the blood on the feet is to have a walk with God and for God. And lastly, without the blood, there's no redemption, no remission, no reconciliation. Without the blood, there is no readiness for service. Without the blood, ladies and gentlemen, we're hopeless. Without the blood, there's no rapture. There'll be no shout, no voice of the archangel, no trump of God. But yet we know, because of this book right here, hey man, we know that we know that we know that we're what? Saved. Question to you this morning. You're here, teenager, senior saint, like myself. You know, I used to talk about senior saints. I is one now. I get my first check from the government next month. I am so excited, I don't know what to do. I'm getting my money back. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Look up here. Look up here. You're either saved or you're not. Yeah, you're either saved or you're not. You're going to walk out this door and stick your fist in God's face. Or you're going to walk up to this altar and with humility and gratefulness receive Christ as your Savior. Well, I don't know all about that. That's why I'm here. That's why he's here. That's why others are here. Gentlemen, we got men that'll assist you. Ladies, we got ladies that'll assist you. Don't walk out these doors not knowing that you know you're born again, that when Jesus comes, rapture takes place, you get to go home to be with him. It's not without the blood. We have the blood. I just want you to see what a picture might look like without the blood. Every one of us be going to a religious service today instead of a service to worship Christ. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking about.